Hello, listeners, and welcome to Northland Views. This is your Sun Sounds volunteer reader, Mary McRarty-Nishley. I'll be reading articles from the Navajo Times and the Navajo Hopi Observer. Today's headlines have to do with Peter McDonald's reaction to the changes on websites referring to Navajo code talkers. The Spelling Bee champion in the Navajo Times, which is celebrating 20 years as a Spelling Bee partner. A new book about the issue of Indigenous youth suicide, broken home, healed nest. Issues related to public access for local papers in Arizona. Change Labs and the support offered to Navajo entrepreneurs. And the closure of a program serving Native American students with interests in the health field. Let's begin with this story from the Navajo Times, published Tuesday, March 25th, first published online on March 21st. Headline, McDonald, Navajo Code was a weapon. Pentagon restores histories of Navajo code talkers and Native veterans. This is by Krista Allen, a Dateline, Tonanej Dizzy, Tuba City. The Pentagon on Wednesday restored web pages that highlighted the wartime contributions of the Navajo Code Talkers and other Native American veterans following backlash from tribes. The removal was part of a broader effort to eliminate military content promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion. This action followed President Donald Trump's executive order that ended federal DEI programs. As a result, the Defense Department deleted thousands of pages recognizing the contributions of women and minority groups, including the Navajo Code Talkers, who served during World War II and used Diné Bezaad as a secret code in battle. Officials stated that the Navajo Code Talkers' content was mistakenly removed. When Navajo Code Talker Petal McDonald Sr., age 98, learned about the removal, the former tribal chairman was hurt. Because Navajo Code was not DEI, McDonald said at his home in Tuba City on Friday morning. No, nothing. It has nothing to do with DEI. As a matter of fact, Navajo Code, when it was developed in early 1942, there was no such thing as DEI. A need existed against a very tough enemy that we had in the Pacific War, he said. The Japanese were breaking every military code that was being used, making it impossible to surprise the enemy or to get into their network without them knowing what our plans are. They knew what our plans were by breaking all military codes that were being used at the time in the Pacific War, he continued. Navajo code was a weapon. Former Navajo Nation President Jonathan Nez said on Friday morning that it's not the DEI, but a trust and treaty obligation. I'm glad that many of the tribal leaders throughout the country are saying that, Nez said, because we need to take this administration, Trump, to court, because these are promises made. Of course, there are so many broken promises. It is a shame that we are seeing a movement across this country to delete history from our textbooks, and now, he said, on websites. And it didn't just begin now. It's this critical race theory movement that happened. Now, with the president, Trump, he's saying that it is mandated to do so. Nez believes that Trump needs to be reminded that only 52.2% of people in Arizona voted for him, and 46.7% voted for Kamala Harris. So when he says it's a mandate, it's not a mandate, Nez said. And to frame it that way, that it's a mandate, is unacceptable for the other people. Right now, we're seeing a big divide throughout this country and a lot of pushback. We honor our heroes. We honor our Navajo code talkers. They are sacred to us, and we're going to continue to stand up for them and our warriors, our veterans, he added. They have contributed great things to this country, as we know. Our language was used to win. Navajo President Boo Nigrin on Tuesday sent a letter to the Pentagon demanding an explanation for the removal of the Navajo Code Talkers webpage. Recognizing the work of the Navajo Code Talkers is profoundly significant to the Navajo Nation, Nygren wrote in the letter. He added that, as a sovereign entity, federal initiatives should not affect tribal recognition, including initiatives related to DEI. There are only two Navajo Code Talkers still alive today, MacDonald and Thomas H. Begay. Now, another article from the Navajo Times of Tuesday, March 25th. Headline, Navajo Times celebrates 20 years as Spelling Bee partner, honors 2025 champion Christopher Werito. This comes with a very nice picture of Christopher Werito, the Navajo Times Office of Diné Youth final regional Spelling Bee champion, in a photo with runner-up Ethan Stevenson and Miss Navajo Nation Renisha Begay, taken March 20th. This article is by Robert Bettis for the Navajo Times. Dateline, Crown Point, New Mexico. Eighth grader Christopher Werito of Tsele Public School topped other students Thursday to become the Navajo Times Office of Diné Youth final regional spelling champion. Werito correctly spelled buzzworthy, the anticipated championship word. With this victory, Werito has earned a spot at the prestigious Scripps National Spelling Bee in National Harbor, Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C. The 2025 Bee will take place May 27th through 29th. I'm proud to have won and excited to travel to Washington, D.C., Werito said after his win. I went over the vocabulary list over and over again, so I'm glad it paid off. His mother, Raquel Werito, expressed her joy and admiration for her son's dedication. His eighth grade class was on a field trip to Flagstaff today, March 20th, but I went in to pick him up early so he could compete in the Bee, she said. This is his first time competing in something academic related. I am very glad that he is pushing himself. He's very smart, and he has proven to himself that he is capable of great things if he really tries. The competition was intense, with runner-up Ethan Stevenson from Kirtland Middle School, also an eighth grader, putting up a strong challenge. I was really nervous during the competition, Stevenson said. I didn't even know if I was going to make it past the vocabulary test, so I feel good about being runner-up. I'm not upset that I didn't win first place. Congratulations to both of those competitors, and good luck in future endeavors. Now, articles from the Navajo Hopi Observer of Wednesday, March 19th. From the news column on page 1, headline, Public Access, Local Papers Are at Risk. This is by Doreen Holcha for the Navajo Hopi Observer. The Arizona Media Association is asking legislators to reconsider the proposed amendment to Senate Bill 1073. The amendment has passed the Senate, is now in the House, and would eliminate the current public notice requirement for municipalities to publish notices in local newspapers. These notices may include truth in taxation and code changes. Instead, notices would only be posted on the government websites. According to the Arizona Media Association, the change eliminates transparency and makes it harder for rural residents who rely on printed notices to access important information. The Arizona Media Association is opposed to the bill and has reached out to legislators to work on a mutually beneficial solution. Currently, local newspapers publish public notices in print and online, with all notices compiled on arizonapublicnotices.com, a free and easily searchable statewide resource. The current system ensures independent oversight and prevents government agencies from altering notices. The Arizona Media Association warns that the amendment would harm local newspapers, many of which rely on public notice revenue. Losing this funding could force some small papers to close and reduce access to local news. Constituents are encouraged to contact their representatives at www.arizonapublicnotices.com. azleg.gov and tell them to protect transparency, public access, and Arizona's local newspapers. Now, from page one of the Navajo Hopi Observer, headline, Broken Home, Healed Nest, Hopi Elder co-author's new book on youth suicide. This is by Alexandra Wittenberg for the Navajo Hopi Observer. Hopi Tewa Elder Pershley Percy Ami can now add author to her impressive list of titles, including advocate, actress, and motivational speaker. Ami worked with outreach worker Anthony Goulet on the new book, Broken Home, Healed Nest, which offers a cultural perspective on a taboo topic, youth suicide. The book centers on Jessica, a 15-year-old Indigenous girl who attempts suicide after grappling with the reverberating grief of losing her beloved grandmother and the trauma of a broken home. Ami lends her voice to the grandmother character that speaks to Jessica from a spiritual realm. Goulet asked Ami to write the part of the grandmother after he had written the part of Jessica 13 years ago. The two also take turns writing the voices of the eagles, Dusk and Dawn, who represent yin and yang and offer Jessica additional guidance. Ami originally met Goulet after writing to him about how inspired she was by his 2011 book, God Help Me Tie My Shoes, The Sacred Contract of Fatherhood. That just touched me so much, and I looked up some information and got in contact, Ami said. Ami was surprised when Goulet wrote back, sending her a copy of his latest book. You just think of authors as untouchable, she said. Ami's friend did a training using Goulet's book on the Akchin Reservation, and Ami and Goulet met in person. Ami's friend did a training using Goulet's book. Both have experience working with youth in crisis. For more than a decade, Goulet worked on call in Detroit, Michigan, as a street-level gang interventionist and a street outreach worker, serving youth who were homeless, runaways, missing, and trafficked. He now resides in San Antonio, Texas, where he serves as a trainer for a youth organization and is a motivational speaker. Ami has served as a strong advocate for suicide prevention, substance abuse, and addiction, devoting years to the Native American Center for Excellence Substance Abuse Prevention Program as a facilitator for the gathering of Native Americans. Ami began to commit to advocacy work a few years after her daughter passed away in a 2009 car accident. I was just trying to figure out the meaning of life, because everybody does when death lands on their doorstep. And how do you maneuver through that, she said. After she passed away, you start to question, how does life go on? She started doing healing work on dealing with the death of a loved one, and families that had lost loved ones to suicide approached her, asking for her help. Though Ami has experienced loss, she said the significance of what she was writing about in Broken Home, Healed Nest didn't hit her until after she was done. There's something outside the realm of what you're doing that takes over, and then when I reread what I wrote, it made me cry, Ami said. You think that when you're writing about it, you're not emotionally involved with it, but then when you read it, you realize you were guided to write it. Both Ami and Goulet use stories and experience from their work in advocacy to lend reality to the characters. In my personal work, I see some of the stories that Jessica is talking about, and Anthony hears the same story in different parts of the country, Ami said. When dysfunction happens in the family, this is usually the typical way it exhibits itself, through domestic violence, through physical violence. It's a universal story. Ami said Jessica's story is common for children of dysfunction. They're not old enough to know there's more to life, but they're old enough to realize that the life they're experiencing isn't what they thought life would be about, Ami said. Broken Home, Healed Nest resonates with people, Ami said. I've had several people read it that have said it's not Jessica's story, it's their story, she said. Ami and Goulet wanted suicide to be looked at from an Indigenous perspective, but did not choose to make Jessica and her family from a specific tribe or area. To make it one culture would not make it everybody's issue, but this is everybody's issue, Ami said. It was approaching it from a cultural perspective. But the message was focused on suicide. We didn't want to take away from the importance of that. Instead, many different indigenous philosophies from the northern and southern country are used. For instance, eagles are significant in numerous cultures, and in Broken Home Healed Nest, they represent balance and the reminder that you have to have pain in order to have joy, Ami said. The publisher made sure the book was true to the Native approach before printing it. Medicine Wheel publisher fell in love with the book, so they agreed to print it, but it had to go through a series of tests with their elders in Canada. Ami shares the same sentiment as Jessica's grandmother on suicide not being in the traditional way. You can't end your life without your story being complete. The purpose of our life is to create memories, to create stories, and to take those stories with us, she said. Shop for Broken Home Healed Nest at medicine-wheelpublishing.com or amazon.com, Broken Home Healed -Pershley-Percy-PERCI/DP/177854-0570. If you or someone you know is experiencing suicidal thoughts or tendencies, call or text 911 nationally. Call 1-844-534-HOPE, that is 4673, or text 4-HOPE-44673 for help in Arizona. Now, another headline from page one. Change Labs offers Navajo entrepreneurs tools for business success. This is by Anna Eric for Cronkite News. What started in 2013 as a once-a-year event to help Native American small business owners has grown into a launchpad for Navajo entrepreneurs. Based in Tuba City, the nonprofit Change Labs offers a modern workspace, classes in business strategies, coaching, and financing for Native entrepreneurs with a business idea. The program allows them to set up and grow their companies and, in turn, help their communities. Heather Fleming, co-founder and executive director of Change Labs, had a 20-year career as a product design consultant in Silicon Valley. She eventually started her own business in San Francisco, where she worked in the international development community with social entrepreneurs, mostly in East Africa and India. Through a mutual friend, she met Jessica Stego, who at the time was trying to develop an incubator for Navajo businesses. The women, both Diné, conceived of Change Labs as an event for Native entrepreneurs. Our first event was in Shiprock in 2013 at the Diné College Library. We didn't really expect anybody to come, but we had sold out our tiny little auditorium that holds about 80 people, Fleming said. It was good for us to see there were enough people interested in building a business community and who saw the potential role entrepreneurs play in our own Native economies. For 5 years, Fleming and Stego hosted events like the first one in Shiprock, before realizing that their target market needed more help than once a year. There is a need for a presence in our communities 365 days out of the year when people can access these conversations, resources, knowledge, and tools, Fleming said. When it came to developing a brick-and-mortar infrastructure for Change Labs, Fleming and her colleagues decided to settle in Tuba City, the most populous community on the Navajo Nation. Although the plan took 2 years longer than they anticipated due to factors like cost increases during COVID-19, the organization has settled into a 1,400-square-foot work and event hub. The Tuba City eShip offers workspace where business owners can connect to Wi-Fi, use resources like a color printer, cry-cut machine, and other tools to develop a marketing plan. Entrepreneurs can also book coaching appointments with the Change Lab team. So far, 69 owners have graduated from its business incubator and 961 entrepreneurs have visited the eShip hub. nearly 300 people attended coaching sessions and 470 participated in workshops in 2024. ChangeLab has funded 76 businesses and offered $441,444 in business loans. Today, Native entrepreneurs like Daniel Tully and Vanessa Tully say they are grateful to have completed the business incubator program at Change Labs. Each of the siblings own their own business. Daniel Tully owns Jinje Coffee and said he fell in love with coffee more than 10 years ago when he worked at Cartel Roasting in Phoenix. Since then, he started his own coffee business, running coffee pop-ups exclusively on the reservation. His relationship with Change Labs started when he worked as a designer for the organization, but he didn't get involved as a business owner until later, when one of the coaches from Change Labs, Tim Dale, approached him at a flea market in Tuba City. The way I got involved with Change Labs was being a designer and not really keeping up with what they did, he said. Now, getting involved as a business owner, it's really cool to see two different sides of the way they run things. As a client of Change Labs, he joined in the Kinship Lending Program, which focuses on building good financial foundations. With the help of the program, he was able to buy an espresso machine, roaster, and other equipment for his business. As a graduate, Tully credits Change Labs for giving him the tools to build a business plan now and into the future. You get what you put into the program, he said. You can just go through the motions of being a participant, but the only way you're going to succeed is if you really put the time into doing what they ask you to do. Vanessa Tully, owner of Ahyeshidines Home Care, also attributes much of her success to Change Labs. Owning and operating a home care business for the past 6 years without a college degree, she recognized there were business steps she was not aware of and was uncertain how to expand her company. I never had this guidance before. It was really great to have access to folks that specialize in these fields and professionals that own and have worked with other businesses and entrepreneurs, she said. It helped that the services were free. That's what I appreciated the most. All the funders that help with the programs like Change Labs, I'm very grateful for them, she said. After working with the nonprofit, her company has won the Phoenix Indian Center's Business of the Year for the American Indian Excellence in Leadership Award in 2024. Change Labs received funding from a variety of places, including Wells Fargo Bank's Invest Native Initiative, the National Community Reinvestment Coalition, Native Voices Rising, and the Federal Home Loan Bank of San Francisco. Now, a story from the Navajo Hopi Observer, from the Navajo Hopi Observer of Wednesday, March 19th. Headline, Science and Health Program for Native American Youth to Shut Down. This is by Chayla Daverman for Cronkite News. Lab coats hung on hooks and cabinets gave way to tall ceilings above typical black-topped science tables. The windows framed Flagstaff's canopy of trees and mountains in the distance. The room was cluttered with expensive scientific equipment, pipettes and an abundance of gloves instead of food. The freezer contained cell cultures and isolated DNA samples. It smelled clean and had everything needed for a fully functional lab. Amber Kelly, a lab student worker at Northern Arizona University who's Navajo, was born in Tuba City and raised in Flagstaff, was there. She's always been interested in science, but many careers in STEM, S-T-E-M-M, science, technology, engineering, math, and medicine, require lab or research experience. So when she saw a flyer offering a paid internship through the Cultural and Academic Research Experience, CARE, at NAU, she jumped at the chance to get involved. I think it's mainly cancer that made me push to public health because most people don't even know that Native Americans are more prone to some cancerous diseases, she said. Kelly studied the health impacts and the legacy of contamination from more than 500 abandoned uranium mines on the Navajo Nation. There's a particular hotspot like 40 miles away from Flagstaff in the small town called Cameron, Kelly said. She has family living near Cameron, one of the places with higher health risks due to radiation exposure and contaminated water, dirt, and livestock. Although CARE worked mainly with Indigenous students hoping to increase the number of Native Americans in STEM, the program welcomed everyone. The National Council of Urban Indian Health issued a press release deeming federal layoffs targeting essential tribal programs catastrophic for Indian country. DEI requires context, said Tempe Chief Diversity Officer Felicia McMillan-Humas. You have to understand that this is addressing a greater, longer, pervasive issue. Diversity training began with affirmative action after President John F. Kennedy signed an executive order in 1961 that required federal contractors to create equal employment for all. You have to learn how to create strategies to engage individuals who don't feel safe or comfortable or don't feel like they'll be heard, Humes said. But the first thing that we need to do is recognize that we have played a role in that inequity. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 created the base for much of today's non-discriminatory legislation. It made all discrimination on the grounds of race, color, or national origin illegal for any program that received federal funding. Kelly completed her third year in the program in 2024. She's pursuing a public health degree with a minor in Applied Indigenous Studies at NAU. Kelly keeps her hair long, hanging past her lower back. Her ribbon skirt, a rainbow of bright florals, was tied at her waist with a sash belt. Her moccasins and traditional jewelry adorned her. She was ready to attend her final care celebration. My parents always taught me that you should never cut your hair because it is cutting off your wisdom, said Kelly. Her wisdom was on display at the end of the program celebration where instructors, mentors, students, and their extended families gathered. One student has 10 people coming, Jocelyn Lee said. We had kids there and elderly folks came. Parents were so thankful that their kids had an opportunity like this. It was just exciting to see them say, we want them to know that they matter. It's crowded and loud and looked like a science fair. It's heartbreaking, honestly, knowing that future people that I've told to sign up for CARE or the people that are already looking forward to it won't be able to come anymore, Kelly said. Naomi Lee said she is looking into alternative financing sources, even if that means having fewer students, which is sad, but at least we're still doing something. If other non-federal funding agencies don't allow us to change our plans, we might have to cancel the program. We all hope that outcome will be different. Thank you so much for listening to Northland Views, brought to you from the Flagstaff Studios of Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your volunteer reader, Mary Magrote Nishli. Thank you so much for listening. Ahiehe. And for now, Hagone.